You've got your wallet set up and you've earned some points. So what's next? Today, Shelly and I share some of our favorite ways to redeem points, why you shouldn't hoard points, and how we decide on our next co-branded card.
Welcome to the Travel More Podcast.
Each episode, we share custom itineraries, travel hacks, expert advice, and even stories of our past travel failures to help you level up your travel game.
I'm Shelly, a lover of plans, itineraries, and cheap flights. I'm an expert deal finder with one eye always on the budget.
And I'm Bruce, the improviser, ready to pick up where plans fail to turn letdowns into unexpected trip favorites. We're here to bust through barriers that stop you from making your travel dreams a reality.
So book that flight, buy the tickets, and say hello to your next adventure.
This is the Travel More Podcast. Welcome back to the Travel More Podcast.
Welcome.
It's been a minute since we did our double release of our Uganda adventure.
I honestly don't know what happened to the time. We had my dad visited, which is always the best time. And then our spring breaks were back to back. And we literally woke up one day and we're like, wait, what is today? And
I know it kind of threw us off our schedule a little bit.
Really did.
But it was fun because usually Shelly and I would take our spring break on, a trip abroad or something. Last year we did London with your dad. Mm-hmm. But of course,
year before that, went to California.
Yeah, we went to California, Burbank, Hollywood, Disney, all that. That was mm-hmm. awesome. L.A.
Year we had to be boring.
Well, hey, it wasn't boring.
No, it's never boring when my dad's here. So it was a good time.
We had some local adventures.
Yeah.
We went to Providence.
Yeah.
We went to a Yard Goats game,
which is our minor Yard Goats baseball team. But it was really fun. And we went bowling a lot.
Yeah, we did go.
Sometimes it's fun to explore your locale. But I am sad. It's usually a time that we kind of dig out as, a travel time.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year is kind of a little funky because we did our recap of our travels last year, mm-hmm. and we really kind of staked out our points and miles journey, and mm-hmm. today we're talking about travel hacking, so we're kind of lead into that a little bit.
Yeah,
we had a lot of big flights lined up and redemptions and all
really
that
exciting.
Stuff. It was really exciting, and this year we're kind of sitting on a lot of points. Our plans have kind of changed. We've been doing a lot of local and domestic trips.
Yeah.
But we've still got our eyes kind of on where we're going with our points and what we want to do next.
Yep.
So today we thought we might, dive into a travel hack update.
Yeah, I think that this travel hack update will be interesting because it's not glitz and glam like the last one where we were how we got 1 million points and all of these other things. This one is more this is our thought process for choosing a new card, because it's kind of where we're at right now is we're on the hunt for a new card because we have a big expense coming up. And we were thinking that might just be good to talk out. Honestly, because if you're anything like I was, trying to start the points and miles game, it's always really hard to see people's perspectives when they're deep into the game.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I know when we started doing this, Shelly was ahead of me because I remember she handed me that book. what was the name of the book? Oh, man. The points guy.
I mean.
But his book was. Anyway, it was you dive deep into the deep end on all the terminology and everything. But Shelly's saying, it's kind of hard when you see other people talk about their new card bonuses they're going after, or they're using the jargon and they're doing all these redemptions and you may not have started.
Yeah.
So it's hard to follow.
Yeah.
So, I thought it'd be nice to kind of give a recap of where we're at
mm-hmm.
and maybe what we're thinking about and why we chose the cars that we have right now again, and then what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So, today, one of the first things we're going to say is before we even talk about a new card is going back to we're sitting on a good amount of points.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately this is a travel hack update. So to update you on where we're at, that's where we should start. So we have, in total, just chilling in our accounts, 773,000 points.
Yep, that's across different domains of, cards.
Right, but each of them, all the major players, Amex, Chase, and Capital One, all have well over 100,000 points on them. And then Marriott Bonvoy, chilling with 30,000, but that's okay because...
Hey, listen, don't hate on Marriott. That's my gas card.
I am
going to
hate on Marriott, but Marriott's just good if we want to upgrade our free night certificate. So we don't really need many
it's
points
small,
on that.
It's small but mighty,
yeah.
I'd say.
Which we are going to talk about that in a second, but we have a good amount of points. And I want to bring this up for one big reason, which is to say that you really shouldn't do what we're doing. which is like sit on points.
Don't be a dragon. Don't sit on the hoard of gold.
No. You really, in this points and miles game, should be what they call earn and burn. So you when you earn them, you should have a plan for them and you should use them. Because, you know, this is kind of all up to the credit card gods, honestly. Like, all of this can be taken away tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not, like, insured, like a bank deposit. This isn't money.
This isn't money, right. This is, like, a freebie perk. And, like, although we put a lot of time and effort, it doesn't seem like it's free. Because, you know, you put in so much time and you're doing annual fees for it. And, you know, you're
keeping track of a lot of information.
Right, like, you've created the math around it. But in actuality, it's a perk. And so they can devalue points, which we see all the time. They can even completely take points and miles like in a different direction. They can randomly close your accounts, which doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. You know, you just don't want to be upset because you had all of these points that you were saving up for a once-in-a-lifetime trip at some point in your life. And then you like wake up and... You know, the Supreme Court has voted that credit card points are no longer like a thing. And then now you don't have any.
Right.
You know, so just one of those things that like you don't really want to leave that because it's really no, like Bruce is saying, like the insurance on it is zero.
Yeah. And it's not like appreciating asset.
No.
You know, they're just sitting around. So
in fact, they're going to depreciate.
Yeah, they're going. Exactly. Like you want to use them is the moral of the story.
Yeah.
And we definitely have some plans in the future looking at how we're going to redeem these. And I think overall, what would you say your favorite way to redeem points is?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
I can tell you mine.
Okay, you tell me yours and I'll think on mine.
I mean, well, I'll tell you two things. One, Shelly's going to yell at me for because I get really excited when I go on Capital One. I'm like, hey, we can get Broadway show tickets with all these points. And she's like, it's a terrible exchange.
It is a terrible exchange.
And she's right, generally, if you're looking through the portal or you're... But, you know, my thought, we've done this like once looking, you know, for like a show.
Mm-hmm.
And because it wasn't a really terrible exchange. You know what I mean? It was like... Not one for one,
no. But
still it wasn't a lot. And we had so many points and it's kind of nice to be like, okay, cool. We have a benefit. Let's use a little bit of it.
Yeah.
That's not my favorite because I realize that's not the game.
It's not the game, but a freebie is a freebie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to get hung up. This is my corner of the points of mild world. If you're in that spot and you're like, you know, I would love to go get these tickets to whatever. Because there's a lot of things you could exchange for. Mm-hmm. And if it's not like a huge amount and you don't want to spend $150 or whatever, it's your benefit.
Yeah, I mean, when you're sitting on how many Capital One points we have? Over 200,000. You're sitting on over 200,000 Capital One points, and you can see a Broadway show and pretty good seats for 15,000 points a piece. It is like an easy thing to be like, okay. Even though the tickets are like, I don't know, like 120. So it's like, it's close to one
less,
for one, but it's less than you'd get at an eraser, which is definitely the bottom I would try to go
for.
I
think because it's a smaller amount of money to begin with, it's less of a sting than looking at like a much bigger redemption, which is where I think like flight redemptions are my favorite, especially thinking about a big, like I'd love to go to Japan or a country that's very far away, Australia, New Zealand, and find
first
like
class.
A first,
or like business.
That I think I love doing the business class, like flight. And I felt like something I could never really do, or I never would do.
Yeah, right.
But it also kind of felt wasted. Now, wasted is a strong word, but for a 7-hour flight, for me, you know, some people might be like, "What are you talking about?" Like, I want to sleep on a 7-hour flight, and I'm like, "Nah." But have you gone to like?
It was awesome.
Across the world?
Yeah, because of the like really good deal we got. But
yeah.
I hear what you're saying. You know, that's a good point in Capital One, too, going back just a little bit. 15,000 points for a Broadway ticket feels like almost nothing. However, if you take that same idea and you think of a $1,000 plane ticket that you're doing 1 cent per point, which is like the baseline, for 100,000 points, that is ridiculous.
See, that's
so
that's
the weird thing about
this,
it.
This concept, it's almost like, I guess, I don't know if you call it diminished returns, maybe. So it's like as the amount gets bigger, the valuation is more important.
Right.
So if you're using your points and miles on small things, it's almost like you could redeem Uber rides, for instance, as a travel purchase on Capital One. And if you're like lazy and you're in the city or you want to take a cab back and you erase it with your points...
What is it, like 50
you know.
Points, 500 points? Like, you know what I mean?
Or 5,000 so points small. Or whatever. But for whatever reason, it stings less than shelling out the like $20 or whatever it might be.
Sometimes. I hear what you're saying.
So I guess that's secretly one of my favorite ways to redeem points. These like little penny pinching things.
But I make him not do because those will add up.
Yeah, they will. So this is why I have her in my life, because I would just end up buying like the $5. I'm going to use the proverbial, like, if you didn't buy your $5 Starbucks every day, you'd be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Put that in.
And now you're going to use the $5 redemption every day and then get rid of your million points. Yeah, that's exactly. So,
what is your, what would be your favorite way to redeem?
That's really hard. So, are we talking things that we've already done or things that
you would like to do?
Okay. So with this 700,000 points that we have right now, if we just wanted to like, just erase them all, like, I mean, or just like use them to their fullest extent. And I don't think it would take this many. I would definitely say what you just said, which is that I would go somewhere far in business class both ways. So I'm going to guess that that's going to be somewhere in the like 100,000 a piece per way. And I probably could get a little less than that with like some sweet spot redemptions, but like not much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 400,000-ish is probably what that would take away. Which is a pretty big chunk, so like that hurts my soul a little bit. But like I said, you really should earn and burn. So that would be what I'd do. And then I would find some like very cool Hyatt for like 30,000 points a night and some like 5-star in Thailand private island type Hyatt and just go like full luxury. But not the whole time, just like a chunk of it, and then find like some cool little...
So you want to extend it?
Yeah, so I would do like... like a longer thing. Like, let's say we wanted like 3 weeks in different countries in Asia, like maybe like Southeast Asia, right? And so you're going to go like Vietnam and Thailand and, you know, like these kind of little island hopping things.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that. And I would, like I said, take my business class flights there and back. And then I would stay in like cool little like local or very like boutique-y kind of hotels for a lot of it, and then I would go like one full week of like just pure luxury somewhere.
Wait, so are you like making a luxury sandwich?
Yeah,
where it's like you fly bougie first class,
mm-hmm.
you acclimate at some like Hyatt mm-hmm. magnificent palace, and then you go tour and you do things like on a much more boutique style mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, like more
budgety
or even backpacking.
Yeah.
And then you end it back in like a resort and fly home like a king.
Ideal. To me, that's the ideal.
That
vacation.
Is kind of ideal.
Because you get both the best.
Well, we were spoiled with our Norway trip. We did so many different things.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of had, and we ended it with like the first class. It is kind of fun to think of how you, if you have the time, of course.
Honestly, we had this, it wasn't an argument. We had this discussion where we were like,
oh, it was a heated argument. No, I'm just kidding. It was not
We were like, when would we take the first class flight? First of all, it depends on like when we could find it. So I found a really great deal on the second one, like the flight home. But we were like, what would be ideal? Would it be there, going there, or coming back? And I don't even know. Still now, it would be nice to like sleep and be well rested and like ready for your day when you get there. However, I definitely feel like I have the sense of like, you know, travel excitement. Yeah, that kind of carries me through that travel day that I don't know if I need it. Coming home is like the drag of the trip. Like it's like you're kind of sad it's over, although sometimes you're like a little excited to like be in your own bed and you're tired and whatever. But it's still like, oh, now I have to do this like whole travel day. But like it kind of makes its own like thing when it's first class. So it's not like, oh, I have to like suffer through this travel day. It's like, oh no, now I get to do the last piece of my vacation, which is this flight, because it's its own thing.
I agree. I think like, I mean, I think there's something to be said for variations of it, but I also feel like I've got this like intense, you know, travel excitement going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I wonder if this has to do with like most of the flights we've taken are going east.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, if we were going west as our first flight, would we feel the same way? Does it have to do? Because when we went to Las Vegas,
that was tough.
That was going, you know, we went, what, 6-ish hours west? Maybe something. a little less,
but not much.
It's almost like going to, when we went to LA.
It's not very much further. That's right.
Yeah, but I guess if it was, you're jumping behind 3 hours too. It was just really screwed up.
Yeah. Feeling. Yeah. That was...
I think I honestly wonder. I mean, let us know. Come on the Facebook group. Send us an email. I'm curious what people think about this, because I'm like, is jet lag more about the time zone you're crossing, or the duration, or when you fly? So if you do those red eyes and you wake up in Europe and it's like 6 a.m., you know, but you left at like 10 o'clock at night and you zoom forward, I feel like I can get kind of crappy sleep and kind of wake up and it's sunny and it's like, okay, I have a full day and it's like I have like 3 Red Bulls because I'm ready to go and I'm here.
I will say, and then we should move on to talk about our next credit card, but I will say I have never felt, and this is including Africa, which was a much further flight, but I have never felt as bad jet lag as I felt going to London, which is not even that far of a flight for us. Like, it's really a short flight. But I think holy moly.
That's because of when we got there.
Ooh, that's what I'm saying, though.
It was bad.
It's like we left it, probably what you're saying, like 9 or 10. We got there at like 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing about jet lag, the way that you get rid of it, or like, you know, circumvent it, I guess, is that you stay up until like an acceptable time to sleep at the place that you're
at.
Yeah,
you don't want to go to bed during the day.
Right. So like, really, I mean, you can go to bed early, like 8 o'clock, but you don't want to go to bed at like
noon.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea is to stay up, but if you have landed at 5 a.m., that is a long time before 8. So
that,
like,
was brutal. That's right. That was Easter Sunday.
We had this really – we'll talk about London on another episode, like, actually, but we
went – let's just tell them the story.
Talking about Westminster Abbey?
Yes.
Yeah, so we went to Westminster Abbey for Easter service. Again, we have my dad. He had never been to Europe, so poor guy, this is his first jet lag. And he's like, this is terrible. I'm like, it's not usually this bad.
Well, also, we flew into the further airport. So it was like an hour cab to our Kensington area hotel.
Which you absolutely couldn't check in because it's like 6 a.m.
Nope, so we left our stuff. And then we navigated over to Westminster Abbey for their Easter service. And like lulled to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
They're like,
it was beautiful. Like, yeah. It was a great, it was like a once in a lifetime experience. But I cannot tell you how many times I like did like the kid, like the, you know, the kid in school thing where like I literally like my whole body jumped waking me up during that service. It was miserable.
It was tough.
I've like never been so
miserable.
No,
but the best part about it is, so like I really wanted to go to the service because I'm also a singer. So I'm like, we got
to
go.
And my dad wanted to go. And I wanted to see it. It just was probably the least of my thing.
Yeah, it's cool. So like, anyway, you get there and there is a long Easter service with all of the bells and whistles of like what you would imagine. But what we had after was like high tea. That was the thing. And it was supposed to be this big, like, oh man, we're going to England, you know, we gotta do tea.
Listen, it was a great plan. Imagine this on paper. You will land in London. My dad's never been there.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. We walk through Hyde Park to get to Westminster Abbey. We go to Westminster Abbey. Then we get out and we like casually walk over to this really nice high tea that I had booked that I found like on Eater,
this fancy boutique
or a Michelin
type
star. Yeah. Like, I found a really nice kind of like eclectic high tea. It looks amazing on paper, you know what I mean? And then like we ended our day in a pub, but oh my gosh, all of us were like literally falling asleep,
like,
in the
you
tea.
You sit down in this tea, you know, I. No one was hungry.
No, it's also we were like forcing ourselves
Gravlax salmon tea cakes. Like, just the most thinking about it. I think, like, and there was so much of it. There was like platters. I think we're like, what should we get? And we're like, I don't know.
We'll get one of each. I got all the sweets and all the savory.
I feel like we look so miserable in like suits and nice clothes.
Oh, that's
Easter.
Right. We changed in the bathroom at the airport.
Oh, you forgot that part. Yes.
I did.
We got coffee, changed in the airport to like nice church wear. But we get to this, like, what's supposed to be this wonderful afternoon. You know, it's like, what
looks
are
so
the
nice
two?
On paper.
Easter brunch, Mother's Day brunch, spring, flowers. You think about it, it's supposed to be this like exuberant, everyone's awake. It's like not even noon. We look half dead.
We had to have looked ill.
I think they wonder, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, I think they thought, like, do you not enjoy the tea? And I was like, no, it's fine.
Honestly, we didn't really. But it had nothing to do with them. It was just, it was
we have
not,
to redo tea.
Yeah, it was not what we wanted at the time.
Oh.
And my poor dad was like, what is this?
Oh, your dad. Yeah, that was tough.
It was great on paper. That was an example of, like, my plans. Like, we did them all, but
It's a great example of how itineraries can look really nice, but like, man,
that's a time I should have been more flexible.
Yeah, for sure, because that's a good point. You know, you want to, I think Shelly and I have found over the years that the more you can have a sense of what you want to accomplish on a trip, but you don't necessarily have to stick it to each day.
Yeah.
Now, some things you have to plan because it'll book out. But other things, like, you got to feel your gut or else it's really going to mess up the experience for you.
That was an example of it. We definitely forced that, and it was great. And now we can all look back and laugh, but ooh, it was a long day.
So anyway, yes. Shelly and I think about travel hacking. I think this is us just wishing we had a spring break that was a little more adventurous. But
yeah. You're getting our nostalgia.
Yeah, this is the nostalgia of last year's wonderful adventures. But so let's talk. So yeah, I mean, let's recap. We talked about the points we've got, and we've kind of built our wallet, right? We've talked about picking like your primary cards. We went with Capital One. We've upgraded to the Venture X. Love Capital One. I think it's my favorite. We've dived into Amex a little bit. So I've got the Gold Amex, which isn't too high of a yearly fee.
No, it comes
not
with
like Platinum.
No, and it comes with like some credits that we use to kind of offset a lot
good
of that.
Good credits, nice perks. Dude, I got to tell you about my combo. Combo. Let me tell you. This is, no, you have to understand this. This is, so I have a friend who DoorDashes, and we talked about how DoorDash is kind of like taking over and overcharging everybody, but everybody uses it anyway. So tell me about how you feel about DoorDash and Uber Eats. But anyway, I like Uber Eats. Now here's the combo. So Capital One Quicksilver, which was my Capital One venture, gets me Uber One for free on a monthly statement. And then when I pay with my Amex Gold on Uber Eats, I get $10 a month Uber Eats cash or just Uber cash. So we try to only get like Uber Eats food delivered maybe once a month. Recently, Shelly's laughing because recently we've been really bad about it. But I would say we
keep
decently
getting coupons. So
well, yeah, that's different.
Like 60% off.
Anyway, my combo effect is that I get Uber One for free because of my Capital One Quicksilver, and I get $10 a month off because of my Amex Gold, and that's just another cool fringe benefit. That combo
four
effect.
Times the points too, probably.
And right? Four times the I can't remember if it's four or five. I think it's four.
Yeah.
Four times the points on like dining.
Yeah.
So it's like a cool, it's a really nice effect. The Amex Gold is awesome because I use it for groceries and dining and Uber Eats and all that. So
yeah,
that's one of them.
So we have like all, and we have Chase, of course. So we have like all the major players, and then we have a Marriott Bonvoy as like our co-branded card. So just to kind of give you an idea of why we're talking about this now, we have a major purchase coming up, a couple $1,000s. And anytime we have a major purchase coming up, we always want to have a new credit card because like that's the time to get your bonus.
Yeah, it's so easy to do it. And if you miss your bonus, oof.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't have like, you know, you have everything kind of like already being taken out of your card. So it's like, do I have an extra $3,000 in the next 3 months of things that like aren't already being taken out of this card? Because it's such a pain to be like, oh, I'll just switch everything for this 1 month to this new card and then switch it back. So
yeah, it can get complicated.
Yeah, so like it's good. When you have a big purchase, that's the time. We have this big purchase, and we're actually in real time right now trying to decide what's our next card because we have all the major players, and the only one we don't have is Citibank, but I have not super like blown away by their like offerings right now. I'm still kind of waiting to see if they get like a premier card, so I'm not going to go there yet. So I'm thinking, okay, we want another co-branded card. If you're kind of in the same boat or you're wondering how people like where they go from here when they already have kind of an arsenal of all of these major cards, we do too. And this is how we've kind of broken it down. You have two different kind of areas you could go to, your hotel area or your airline cards. So obviously these kind of like specifics are going to depend on you and how you travel, but here's ours. So if we're going to go airlines, that's a much easier one to kind of weed out of. We would go with JetBlue or Southwest just because of our airport doesn't have really any United or Delta flights that we take advantage of.
Yeah, and we like generally Shelly and I will pick the cheapest flight for things.
Yes.
But JetBlue, when we go down to like Florida,
mm-hmm.
JetBlue is a nice consistent flight.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Southwest, well, you could talk about Southwest because it's got some other things.
Yeah, I mean, both of them we've used to go back and forth from Florida, and they're one of the three airlines that have nonstop to Florida. It's them and Spirit Airlines or Frontier. But we wouldn't go as far as getting a Spirit or Frontier airline credit card. So we're going to stick with either JetBlue or Southwest. They both have annual fees. Southwest is slightly higher, I believe. JetBlue's is $95. And the problem with JetBlue is that we don't necessarily use it every time we fly, is the first thing. And the second is it does give you like free checked bags. But when you think about the annual fee for a card, you have to think like, am I getting
the value,
the actual value? So not like some, I mean, for us, like we don't really care about status as much. We're never going to fly probably enough with one airline to have status. We don't really care much about like doubling points or anything, because how many points, how many JetBlue flights you're going to have to buy for that to really matter. So we're really looking at like actual money value of getting the annual fee back. And so for them, it's checked bags, and a checked bag like can save you quite a bit of money, but how many times are we going to fly with checked bags?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you got to crunch some numbers. So it's the same reason why, like, the reason why I've got the Marriott card, because we're going to talk about hotels in a second, is because the yearly fee is essentially the free night.
Right. We're going to get to that in a minute, because that's actually my, like, kind of baseline for hotels.
Got it.
But then the other one is Southwest. Southwest is a little easier to get the value out of, because if you have both the personal and business card and you, like, pair, like, time them together, you'll have enough points to qualify for the companion pass for 2 years. Well, the rest of the year that you get it in and the next year. So if you can get it in like January, February, you get it for the whole year and then the next one. Which
That's a huge
Yeah,
bonus.
I was going to say, which obviously is a huge thing. Now to keep it, you have to get a considerable amount of points. So the first time you get it is really going to be like the time you're planning on using it. And so then you want to think to yourself, like, do I have 2 years of like a decent domestic amount of domestic flights that you could get this companion pass and it'd be worth it? Because I don't want to waste it if like we're not really going to fly domestically for 2 years.
Yeah, because you put in the effort to try to get it, and if you don't use it, it sucks, you know.
Yeah, well, and then you can't really get it again for however many years or whatever. You know, it just becomes a whole thing. So it's like you really want to think about it. So for me, airline cards are probably out of the picture right now because neither of those things apply to us right this second. Mm-hmm. So let me move on to hotels. For me, hotels are probably the easiest way to get that annual fee covered. Like they can pretty much, like anybody can get the annual fee covered with a credit card, with a hotel credit card, because you don't need to do that much a year to get it covered. As Bruce mentioned, the Marriott card, we get that free night certificate. So like really the points we make on Marriott is just to upgrade the certificate, because Marriott points are kind of garbage right now, like in terms of their valuation.
Yeah, they're not great. The nice, the only thing I like about Marriott is that there's always a Marriott.
That's
like,
super helpful.
Everywhere. So when we've been doing a lot of road trips.
Yeah.
And we often will use our Marriott points to just, because, you know, especially on a road trip, they're not the most expensive hotels.
No.
Because you're talking about wherever off the highway.
Mm-hmm. But they are like, you know, probably $150 a night, which is like,
it adds up.
Annoying. You know, it's like, but if you get it for free, that's a nice use of a $95 fee. And again, you can get them even like better if you kind of use 5,000-6,000 points to upgrade.
It's that penny pincher type attitude. The small things, like, I don't want to spend $150 on a whatever hotel on a road trip. You know what I mean? Even though it's not that much, but
it's just it's something. And then sometimes you can get really nice deals for it. So you know, the road trip is a good example of like you're gonna get your $95 worth, but sometimes you can get much more. So then we have kind of like three big players in the hotel world that we haven't dipped into in terms of credit cards, which is Hyatt, IGH, which is like Holiday Inn type deal, and then Hilton. Those are probably the big players in the credit card world. So now that we're kind of juggling between those three.
Yeah, and we don't, I mean, I don't think we often state IHG, IHG, right? Not IGH. IHG, International Hotel Group.
Yeah, we don't stay at that very often.
Generally, because I think because we often will pick a Marriott right now and not like a Holiday Inn. But
they are everywhere. So this is our thing. Is like, true. We do kind of have like a road trip. We have so few U.S. states that we're like, let's just cross them out. So we have only seven left. And then so our big thing this summer is probably going to be road tripping. So we're thinking like, what credit card can we get that's going to have like a really big portfolio of hotels so that we could use them the most this summer, like while we're road tripping? So in that way, like the Holiday Inn card does kind of come to the top, even though we don't stay there often. It's not my favorite brand of hotels, But it comes with that free night certificate. It comes with a ton of points, which definitely mm-hmm. means that it costs a ton of points to stay places. That's usually how that balances out. Yeah. And they're everywhere. Like, everywhere.
Well, and that's
like
a good Marriott. Point. If you, this is kind of like, you got to know what your next year or two is going to look like. If you're trying to get a co-branded card, like, do you have an airline you fly all the time?
Mm. Or do you have one trip that you're specifically looking for? That's, yeah. I mean, you don't have to know so necessarily you your full the, 2 years. But, yeah. Do you right. have something you're, like, eyeing? So that might be an interesting thought. The other one, Hilton. Let's do Hilton. I actually would do Hilton right now, except that you have to get their highest cost card to get that free night certificate. It's like $550 a year. And that, I'm not getting $550 out of my one night certificate.
Yeah, it's hard to balance that yearly fee. Because yeah. like all the other cards we have, I don't feel like we're really paying for them.
Right. I mean, okay, so here's you know? The thing with the Hilton. This is a thing to think about too when you're thinking about your own travel style and everything like that. The Hilton is like $550 a year. It comes with a free night certificate. So that's like, I don't know, $100-$150 probably. Maybe close to $200. I think it's a pretty nice certificate. But that still leaves you $350 to cover. So it has $200 airline credit, I believe, and then like a $400 Hilton resort credit. I don't know exactly what you use your resort credit for.
Probably for like one massage.
That's what I was going to say. But you, it's not for booking. Right. So for some
it's gonna
people.
It's going to be something at a resort.
Right. Right. So for some people, they may be like, that's a great deal because I mm-hmm. always right. book, you know, things at hotels.
Yeah,
and
or maybe you always stay at those type of resort type hotels.
Right. And I fly with these airlines that this credit goes to. Like this all 100% makes sense for me. And in that case, it's a great card. It's got a lot of perks and it definitely goes over its, you know, amount that it costs. For Bruce and I, it does not. We would really just get the use of that one free night certificate. We may one day splurge and, you know, do the $400 just because it's there. But it's definitely not something that we would have spent otherwise. And that's right. important to think about. It's like, are you just doing it because you want it now that you have it? Or would you have already spent that? Because that's two different, like, mm-hmm. travel hacking games.
Philosophies.
Yeah. So we definitely are the ones that are like, would we have spent this already? If the,
right.
If the answer is yes, then the annual fee is waived.
Yep.
So, like, for the Marriott certificate, we definitely would have stayed in a Marriott at some point or a hotel that costs $150. So we'll pay $95 for it. And sometimes we get really lucky with it. And sometimes we get right at the cost of the annual fee. Either way, we make it up every year. So Hyatt's the last one. Hyatt seems like the no-brainer for a new credit card for, like, hotels because it has a free night certificate. It's 60,000 bonus points, which is not a lot, but in Hyatt world, it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, because
bonus.
Of the exchange.
Yeah. We like Hyatts and we have a lot of Chase
I do,
things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like Hyatt because we've actually had a few Hyatt stays, especially like in the city.
Yeah.
Like in New York.
Right.
I've liked them.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're great hotels. I think they're like, I don't think I've ever been disappointed in a Hyatt hotel.
No.
And they've been, some of them are extremely cheap. Like the one we stayed in Frankfurt was 5,000 points.
Yeah.
Like, and it was a nice hotel. So
that, the other points are kind of funny like that yeah. because I think 5,000, I'm like $50, but it's like not really.
Yeah. Well, especially
how their
with
points
Hyatt.
Work. Yeah. Yeah. Their Hyatt points are like a different exchange. Like yeah. when I think about Marriott, it feels way more like you move the decimal point. You know what I mean?
Oh, at least. Like you'd move it and then you double it. Marriott's
yeah, that's
are
true.
Terrible in terms of points. But my problem with Hyatt is that one, it is under Chase's like 524 rules. So I believe that I had to look at this again, but I'm pretty sure that both Bruce and I, me because of my authorized users, which I could call and get like raised, but we're both over 524 at this point.
We well, yeah, because especially we did a lot with Chase Business.
That's
too.
What I mean. Well, yeah. actually, business doesn't count.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So actually, we might, we're definitely, I think we're not at five yet.
Well,
you got to pay attention.
Yes. And also, it's like weird. The business like doesn't count, but does. So like if you go to apply for a card, like a new card, then they may count it. But then you can call them for recon. But it's like, oh, do you want to do all that?
Yeah, you don't.
So
want to
do the 524, we should be back on the not five of the 24, like 424 in May, the end of May. So we could just wait. So that's one thing is we have to kind of do some digging on that. And then the other thing is that there aren't like Hyatt doesn't have a great portfolio. It has like chunks of areas that have a lot of Hyatts. Like New York City is a good example of that. But like worldwide and even like countrywide, when you get to these like more remote places, which is where we're talking about going, there's not really Hyatts. You know what I mean? Like it's just not like a, it's not as populated as say a Hilton or Holiday Inn or Marriott. We can see them everywhere.
Sure.
That's my thing about Hyatt is like just because of our particular situation this summer, I'm just not sure.
Yeah,
because
we're trying
best.
To take a big road trip in the U.S.
Right, right,
right. So I think that's a good point for anybody else thinking is like just think about what are you trying to do.
Yeah,
because Hyatt does have those big resorts in mm-hmm. certain international destinations.
I mean, it's the best hotel loyalty program, hands down.
Yeah, it's for sure.
It's just like,
are we going to use
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
That's really yeah. So and that's a good point. Like Shelly was saying before, is if you know you, I think Shayla and I really think about what we were already going to do
yeah.
and matching our travel hacking, whatever you want to call it, to it, mm-hmm. as opposed to being like, oh, man, I wish I would really love to
mm-hmm.
do all these things, and then getting the card and do, you know what I mean? So you might be inspired to do it that way too.
Yeah.
I just think that we're kind of like, we come up with what we'd like to do and we figure out what are the best resources to get there with less and less money and with points, etc.
I think that like the big people in the travel hacking game though do a kind of a combo of that. It's like for some things they really like they say I want to do this, and then they go get the cards and the points and everything to do that thing, like
yeah,
that
to facilitate
one thing.
It.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they also have a stash of points that then when these like deals and sweet spots pop up or their own like travel plans that they want to do or family plans or, you know, whatever else comes up, then they can kind of travel hack their way to it as well. So I think that like really big players kind of do both. But I would say mostly they have these things set into place so that when they have something they want to do, they kind of have the resources to do it.
You made me think of the last thing as we think about this summer. It'd be really cool if you could transfer points to like VRBO.
You can.
Can you for?
Okay, so an
tell
interesting
me,
way
tell
to.
Tell me, wise wizard. I saw Shelly's eyes like glisten. She's like accessing the data. Tell me what you know.
This is the last thing. So this is actually kind of a thing that's ongoing right now that people are like not super excited about the change of, but you can use Wyndham points. The book Vacasa, which is like a home share.
Which is like a VRBO.
Yeah. And it's...
if you don't know what VRBO is, it's vacation rentals by owner.
Yeah.
Kind of like Airbnb, but...
Same idea.
Yeah.
And so it has this like set price per bedroom. Okay. So that was like, that's a thing. It's like it's maybe 15,000 points per night per bedroom or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which can get you really crazy deals. Because if you have a one bedroom house, but it's beautiful and it's on the mountain and it has a hot tub and like, you know, it could be very expensive per night. So you're getting a really nice deal on that. Same thing with like a three bedroom house could be thousands of dollars a night, but then you're getting it for what, 45,000 points a night or something. You know what I mean? So like mm-hmm. people were loving it. Then they came out and kind of put some limits on it. So they're like, now it's like the same cost, I believe, maybe slightly more expensive, like 5,000 more or something, but it's like up to a certain amount. So it's like, I don't know, 20,000 points per night per bedroom, as long as each bedroom is going to cost like $250 or less. Does that make sense?
Okay.
A night.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to like do some math.
Yeah,
and then that's... I've heard some not great things about people calling to book it because you have to call, which is blah. Who wants to call? But you have to call it a book. And I've heard some things being like, there's booking fees. And so they'll be like, that's not eligible for this because it's the booking fees. And like, but I did the math. And they're like, yeah, well, the booking fees make it like $250.70. And they're like, okay, then let's do like this other one that's cheaper. And they're like, the booking fees also make this one $250.50.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but this one's much cheaper. It's like, well, then the booking fees are more. So it feels like they're doing some weird stuff on the back end of that
because
you can't
like,
see the booking fees.
Oh, yeah. So they're trying to squeeze you one way or another.
Yeah. So it feels like they're starting to kind of, I don't know, not make that as accessible. But we'll see how it kind of plays out and if the outrage about it turns the tides at all. But all that to say, there is Vacasa that you can rent. But you may have to go through some hoops.
It goes.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Fun travel hack update. I'm actually kind of excited. Yeah, as we reminisced, and I think I have some ideas, and I want to learn more about the Vacasa thing. Now that I'm thinking about it. Okay. But either way. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, if you have any input for us, if you think we should go Hilton versus Holiday Inn versus Hyatt for our summer road trip, hit us up.
Email, yeah, let us know.
Facebook group. We'd love to know your input.
Yeah, reach out.
All right, see you next time. Did you know that every time you book a Disney or Universal vacation, you're paying for a service that you may not even be using?
Really?
That's right. Travel agent costs are added to your Disney or Universal vacation, whether you use one or not.
So you're telling me that I'm paying for something even though I'm not getting the help?
You get it. So next time you want to book a theme park vacation, make your money work for you. By booking with Magic Pass Travel, you'll get our expertise and years of experience without paying any extra and while supporting a small business.
Check out our show notes to find our contact information.
Can't wait to help you plan your next adventure.